This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about the pursuit of happiness.
Plus, we'll have another Reflections of Hope episode on the whale song.
And more you're not going to want to miss. Come along with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, every morning is a new opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. And we are here to share that joy with you today.
That's right. Happy Friday, friends.
Yes.
We are so grateful to have made it through another week with you. Mm.
And did you know that today is Lost and Found Day?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Though, you know, throughout recorded history, humans are well known to lose things. Do you know somebody who's I misplace things, honey. I misplace
things. Except for the last wallet you lost.
Which
one? We never found it again.
Oh, the last one.
Yeah.
You're right.
But that's okay.
Well,
has
it ever happened to you?
It has happened to me too. You're not alone. And I'm sure it's happened to all of you as well. So on this day, we are also highlighting losing something, but also finding something else in its place.
Yes. You know, it kind of reminds me of the story of the lost and found son in the Bible.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
And friend, we encourage you to read that story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Do you see yourself in that story? Let us know what you think about it on our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you.
Well, we have another wonderful program lined up for you today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On December 8, 1881, a fire at Vienna's Ring Theater claimed at least 620 lives and injured many more. A stagehand inadvertently ignited gas lights and prop clouds, leading to a rapid spread of flames. Safety procedures were not followed, and panic ensued as the theater plunged into darkness. The exits became jammed, and rescue efforts proved challenging due to short ladders. Some individuals attempted to escape by jumping from the balconies, causing further casualties.
You know, this tragedy highlights the significance of spiritual readiness and faith in the midst of life's challenges. You know, the Bible emphasizes the importance of being prepared spiritually, standing firm in the face of trials, and relying on God's guidance. And in times of chaos and darkness, a deep and unwavering faith can provide the light and hope needed to navigate through adversity.
That's true. And the tragic consequences of panic and disarray in that theater remind us to remain calm and trust in God's provision, even when circumstances seem dire. Mm. Just as the theater goers faced a terrible ordeal, we may encounter challenging and unexpected situations in life, but our faith can guide us safely toward hope and ultimately the assurance of God's presence.
Amen, amen. Well, few things are as soothing as the sounds of nature, from waves on sandy beaches to rustling coconut trees and the unique beauty of whale songs. So let's tune in now as Pastor Taj Pakleb shares a powerful object lesson from the majestic humpback whales of Tonga.
The South Pacific is a place of natural wonder. A land where time slows down amid the calm and peaceful scenes of living creation. A place where the gentle strumming of island music creates a mellow mood fit for rest and relaxation. But nothing is more soothing than the sounds of nature. From the crashing waves on white sandy beaches, to the rustling coconut trees swaying in the cool island breeze, the falling rain, the singing birds, the babbling brook, the clapping waterfalls and the rushing rivers. But of all the sounds of nature, nothing is quite like the whale song. The serenading of these gentle giants was first recorded by accident at a top-secret hydrophone station off the coast of Bermuda. Naval engineers were listening for Russian submarines, but instead they captured calling sounds from the deep. Upon examining the recordings, the startling discovery was made that there was system and structure in the songs. There was rhyming and repetition, order and arrangement. Songs would range from 6 to 30 minutes in duration, slightly evolving year by year, ever expanding in complexity and creativity. Like the sweet serenading of a man to his lover, male humpbacks in the same general vicinity would sing the same song during breeding season. The winner of this aquatic song competition was chosen by female humpbacks, looking for the sweetest singer to father their offspring. The syntax of the song structure suggested an intelligence far beyond the linear language of chirping birds, mooing cows, barking dogs, or roaring lions. Considered as one of the most complex forms of communication in the animal kingdom, the whale song is a massive mystery. But unfortunately, whales were hunted by the tens of thousands each year, slaughtered to the point of near extinction. But when the world heard these gentle giants speak from the deep for the first time, the rising awareness of their intelligence and beauty ignited a worldwide movement to save the whales, a movement leading to the laws we have today to protect and preserve these magnificent creatures. Upon hearing their voice, we wanted to do all we could to cause their sufferings to cease. We heard their cries and thus wanted to save their lives. Here in the tiny islands of Tonga, we've had the incredible privilege of swimming with the humpbacks and hearing their love language firsthand. At up to 50 feet in length and 79,000 pounds in weight, you feel very small, weak, and vulnerable swimming next to these massive mammals. But our encounters with them the past few days has given us a glimpse into the character of the Creator who fashioned them with intelligence and design. Powerful and yet peaceful, strong and yet subtle, giant and yet gentle, massive and yet majestic, our God is the same. Our powerful Creator is also kind and compassionate. The majesty of the heavens is also the meek and lowly one. The sovereign of the universe is also the sweet singer of Israel, who rejoices over us in love. It is He whom Zephaniah wrote of when he spoke, "The Lord your God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing." And just like the whale song, the Lord sings over us in everlasting love. We are the joy and the rejoicing of His infinite heart. And He desires us to hear His voice that we might know His heart, to hear His song that we might experience His salvation. And those who choose to dive deep in the ocean of His word will hear the Savior's song of salvation to us. And in that sweet salvation song, we will discover complexity, structure, intelligence, beauty, creativity, and design. Design that is calculated to capture our imagination and to convict our hearts. And so today I invite you to pause, go deeper, be still, listen, and listen carefully. And as you do, the ear of faith will hear the sweet harmonies of the heavenly song of salvation, a song that will literally take your breath away.
Everyone wants to be happy, but is there anything we can do to guarantee our pursuit of happiness? The Incredible Journey returns today to answer the question for us.
Everyone wants to be happy. All of us. It's something we all have in common. The desire for happiness. The American Declaration of Independence goes so far as to enshrine the pursuit of happiness as an inalienable human right. Most people would argue that the pursuit of happiness is a subjective endeavor, something that means different things to different people. But the Bible gives us a clear picture of where we can find true and lasting happiness. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, God himself tells us, "Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." God challenges us to ask for the old paths, the tried and true avenues that guarantee our pursuit of happiness. This isn't a pipe dream, but a tangible experience that is within reach. So, what are some of the biblical methods to find happiness? One of the most powerful methods of pursuing happiness recorded in the Bible is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Here, the Bible says, "And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." One of the surest ways to pursue happiness is learning how to trust God, especially when times are tough. Learning to trust God, even in our darkest moments, can bring us happiness. It's easy to be happy when the sun is shining and everything is rosy, but it is almost impossible to find joy in the dark and trying times. But the Bible promises us that if we choose to trust God, regardless of our circumstances, we will find happiness in the most unexpected places. The story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 gives us a glimpse of how we can experience this. At the apex of his prosperity, King Jehoshaphat was forced to reckon with a formidable threat to his nation's security and sovereignty. Overnight, he found himself facing perhaps the single biggest crisis of his rule, with no viable solution to his problem. A huge army was on its way to attack him and his people. They had no chance against this great enemy alliance. Instead of looking to himself or any other human source for comfort and wisdom, Jehoshaphat turned to God. Pleading with God in prayer, Jehoshaphat asked for help, and God delivered them without hesitation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15, God says to Jehoshaphat and his people, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Then God continues to reassure them in verse 17 with these words, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." They trusted God, and Jehoshaphat demonstrates their trust in a most remarkable way. So confident are they in God's promises to protect them and give them victory, that when the army sets out the following morning, they send an entire choir of singing men in front of them. It's an almost unbelievable story. A small army going out to battle against a much larger force, and their vanguard is made up of musicians. You see, in those days, armies included a band of musicians whose responsibility was to sing a victory song after the battle was won. But Jehoshaphat and his people fully trust God. They are sure that he's going to protect them and give them the victory. So Jehoshaphat has the musicians sing the victory song even before the battle is fought. That's how much they trust God. As they march into battle, they sing praises to God, victory praises. Praise is an outpouring of a joyful heart. The army of Judah marching out to battle with the odds stacked against them, find themselves in possession of the purest form of happiness, the kind that spills out in song, a victory song. They know that God is with them and will give them victory. And that's exactly what happened. Now, you might be tempted to dismiss this story because it sounds too good to be true. But don't do that, because truth is often more surreal than fiction. And in this case, the sense of surrealness comes from our inability to grasp how such an experience is even possible. When we're faced with a looming crisis, our natural response is fight or flight. But the Bible tells us that when we turn to God in prayer, when we choose to trust God with our battles, when we choose to lean on God for solutions, He can give us a different response. The Bible describes this gift of joy and peace in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, where it says, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." We all want to be happy, especially when we're facing challenges. And while our own solution for finding consistent happiness can often prove elusive or ineffective, the Bible promises us that the happiness God offers us is tangible. All we need to do is open our hearts to Him and lay hold of it.
We invite you to visit hope.study today and check out the study from Pavel Goya on prayer.
When we return, Pastor Mark Finley will share our morning devotional thought.
And don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and see what else is going on at Hope Channel. And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this Friday morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley. We always enjoy these power-packed devotions that fill our hearts with courage to walk with Jesus.
What's more important, your character or your reputation? What is character? What is reputation? Our reputation is the perception that others have of us. Our reputation has to do with others, what others think about us. When other people hear your name, what do they think about? What thoughts come into their mind? Our character is who we really are. Our character has to do with not what others think we are, but what we actually are. Our character is the most important thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, don't worry about your reputation, just worry about your character. What's more important in a car, to have brakes or gas? What's more important to have in a car? Is it to be able for the car to go or the car to stop? You say that's a false dichotomy. And it's in a sense true. It's a false dichotomy with character and reputation. God desires us to have a positive reputation so that we can positively influence people. But that reputation is never to be achieved at the expense of character. If you have a solid character that knows God, that loves God, that's committed to blessing other people, that will create a positive reputation. In Proverbs chapter 22, the proverb talks to us about reputation. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If we make a commitment to unselfishly serve like Jesus served, He will take care of our reputation. During the early days of the Salvation Army, William Booth and his associates were bitterly attacked by the press, by religious leaders and government leaders alike. Whenever his son Bramwell showed Booth a newspaper attack, the general would simply reply, "Now, son, now Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. it will matter a great deal how we deal with the work of God. William Booth knew that the most important thing in life is doing God's will. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to create with us an unselfish, kind character. Think about the Salvation Army today just for a moment. They have a sterling reputation. I know when my dad was growing up, he had no father that he knew of, brought up in very poverty-stricken homes in New York City, places like Hell's Kitchen and the Harlem in New York. And his dad was brought up there. He had a rough time. He was brought up in the Great Depression in the United States, 1928, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those were very difficult years. People were unemployed in the United States, hard to get work. They were standing in long bread lines to get bread just to survive. And it was cold in New York City, but the Salvation Army provided for my father clothing during that time. They provided a coat for him, which he didn't have. And they developed a sterling reputation for unselfish sacrificial service. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with Him, a commitment to do His work, to reflect His character and follow His leading. And if that is our decision, He will take care of our reputation. Our reputations are not nearly as important as our characters. And if we're committed to do God's will, He's going to guard our reputations. If we're committed to do His will, He will care for our reputations. In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we have a story of a mother. And we shouldn't blame this mom too much. She's a story of a mom that wants the best for her children. She's a story of a mom who wants to see her children have position, have honor, have a good reputation. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, this mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels before him and she says, and Jesus says to her, "What do you want?" And she says, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." See, she thinks that Jesus is going to come into his kingdom. And she thinks, "I know what I want. I want my sons to have a place of honor. I want them to have a place of position, a place of authority. I want their reputation to be one that they're sitting one in Christ's left hand, one in Christ's right hand. That's what I want." And Jesus shocks her. He says, a little later in the chapter, verse 25, he calls all of his disciples to himself. He has a lesson he wants to teach them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those that are great exercise authority over them. They have this great reputation. But it's not going to be so among you." Verse 26, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came not to give his time, but to give his life. He came to reveal the character of God. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. Touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. Touched the withered man's arm and it was healed. Touched legs that were paralyzed and they leaped and walked again with new life. Forgave the sin of the woman caught in adultery. Broke the bread and fed 5,000. What is it about this Christ that draws all men to him today? What is it that gives him such a positive reputation? It's his character. It's his life of service. And he hangs on that cross with nails through his hands and blood running down his wrists and blood running from the temples, from the crown of thorns upon his head, matting in his beard and dripping at the stone at the foot of the cross. He dies there bearing your sins and mine. He dies with the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself for us. What is it that causes songs to be sung about him? What is it that causes artists to paint pictures of him? What is it that causes books to be written about Christ? Why? What has given him such a positive reputation that echoes and re-echoes down the ages? Here's what it is. Jesus was more concerned about his character than his reputation. And Jesus knew that if he lived a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of love and kindness and compassion, that God would take care of his reputation. And that happened. What about you? Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. How do you achieve a good name? By striving for it, by seeking first place, by trying to get as much power as you can to gain a good reputation. Tell God you want a character of loving service, and he'll take care of your reputation.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
Amen, and thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we are looking forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday morning at 7 a.m. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought, we'll talk about handling emotional storms, and we will have much more. You don't want to miss it.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to study more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise is found in Psalm chapter 80, verse 19.
It says, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved."
You know, friend, God longs to restore us to what he created us to be. Happy, healthy, and joyful as we follow his ways. Won't you follow him today and let him restore you and shine his face upon you so that you can experience the true joy he alone longs to give.
Amen. We are ready to start our weekend now, friends, and we pray that you take these reminders of God's love with you throughout your weekend, and we truly hope you have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday morning.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. We have received what we were expecting. You've filled our hearts with something to hope for, something to long for, with confidence, with faith, knowing that you are faithful to perform that which you have promised. And today, Lord, guide our steps. Keep that hope in our hearts. May nothing take it away. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.